You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to 2 Timothy and chapter 1. And in our little movement of late, we've been looking at Timothy. Timothy is going to be all alone in 68 AD. And in the process, Paul is about to die by Nero. Nero has burned Rome 4 years earlier, so we know that, and persecution is hot and heavy. And in the process, just a couple of years from now, 68 to 70 AD, Titus is going to level the city. So the conditions, and Timothy's all alone. Timothy used to have Titus and Paul, and now he's alone, with Paul going to be taken, Nero's going to take him, kill him, and in the process, he's alone, and he isn't Paul, and he needed to be encouraged because he's in Ephesus, and the enemy is there, as we shared. So it's a very difficult time, and it's rather appropriate because we are at a time in history that it is a difficult time. And many things are changing, contradictory, all kinds of things. And who knows? And things that normally would just happen are not going to happen. They're not going to happen in the same way. And so our world is in a great, not just our country, but globally. So that's interesting. A very movement, trouble, turmoil. And therefore, interesting, to say the least, in the light of the Word of God, in the light of what's happening and going to happen in the future. Now, having said that, so we're reminded, Timothy, help us, because Timothy's going to be there, and he has to stand in darkening days, difficult days, dangerous days. He has to stand there, and he's encouraged. And remember, we shared together, he was saved. His grandmother and his mother read the scriptures to him, taught the Bible, Old Testament to him. They didn't have the New Testament. And they taught the Old Testament, and they had that. And they believed his father was a Greek. And in the process, Timothy was set apart to be an evangelist, church planter, etc. So, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance. I'll read verse 5 just for the sake of context again. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned, unhypocritical faith that is in thee, in other words, it's genuine, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hand. The word stir up is the word fire, to make fire, to make the fire revive, to make the fire live again. And the heart, the word has to do with the smoldering fire. There's smoke, there's fire, but you don't see any flames, and the fire is in danger of going out. And the Spirit of God encourages Timothy to stir up the fire based on God's word, based on God's presence. He's still there. Paul's going, but he's there. And Timothy is now responsible to carry out, to keep on being a little light in the darkness. Now, so having said that, to stir up the fire within his own heart, think of and make it fire, the fire in Nero and burning Rome, that fire was something else. But the fire in his heart needed to be hotter and stronger than Nero's fire. He needed to be hotter than Nero. He needed to be more with it than the world was with it. All the dangers and the evil and everything is there. But you want your heart to be on top of it. You're playing the game of life to win. And you're a winner to start with. So you're going down the corridor of time to win. So you aren't sitting there as a loser. That's Verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And we share together, the word fear has to do with cowardness. It has to do with loss of courage, loss of heart. And that's what Timothy has to stir his heart up to get on fire for God, to understand he isn't a loser, he's a winner. He doesn't need to be overcome. He's supposed to be an overcomer. He's supposed to be able to succeed and not fail. So, having said that, and you'll notice, please, in verse 7, the verb God has given, not cowardness, not loss of courage, not loss of heart. On the contrary, he has given power. And we shared it. Now, God, Timothy, is encouraged. He is reminded God has given him power. Now, all of that, as we shared last time in Ephesians and that, he's in Ephesus. He was there when Paul wrote Ephesians in prison in Rome. So he has all of that. And he needs to be refreshed and reminded, the same as we do. Say, oh yeah, I remember reading that, all right? When we forget things, we lose it. So, here's the word power. God has given. Not he's going to give, he's given it. So whatever we're looking at now, you have to understand, if you're saved and know the Lord as your Savior, God has already given this. So there's no sense in trying to play with it and think about it. It's already something you possess if you're saved. And therefore, you need to understand that you have something, and to what measure are you using it? What measure are you understanding it? That's what we're, Timothy, so here we are at this point in history. So, the word power, dunamis, think of, it's a power, action, power in action. And the English words we use to remind us, think of the word dynamite, dynamo, dynamic, power. God has given us power, and we did that. But would you, just to pick up at that, over to 2 Peter and in chapter 1. And in 2 Peter and chapter 1, may I pick up, please? Oh, little context again, verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you, not added, multiplied, always multiplied in this case. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according to his divine, the word divine, that which belongs to God, that which God owns, that which God is the source of. According to the divine power, God is the source of that power. There's your little word you're looking at, power. God has given us power. Now here's it again, you're reading it. God is that power which belongs to God, hath given, there you see, there's your verb, given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to his glory, to us to glory and to virtue, superiority. Wonderful, wonderful success. Now, so therefore, verse 4, whereby, since all of that is true, since we have this awesome relationship to God and that involves power, verse 4, whereby are given, there's your little verb, given. So it's not, you don't pray for it, you don't hunt for it, you don't feel for it. It's something that is given. And either you understand it's given or you don't, because God said it was given. And therefore, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises you might be partaker, a sharer in common, of the divine nature, that which belongs to God. a wonderful, what when you get saved and know the Lord as your Savior, what does God do? He gives you the gift of eternal life. What is eternal life? 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Life is the uncreated life of God. So God, what happens? Well, when we come to know you as our Savior, you give us a unique relationship to you. That's called eternal life. A unique relationship to God in a very awesome, beyond understanding in the light of God's grace. With God, you did it. That's right. He created us for it. He created you for himself. Squirrels, spiders, camels, all of them naturally do what they do. And you have to be very careful you don't go and say, we're like an animal. You don't want to insult the animals. The animals are wonderfully natural and accurate. Spiders, bugs, everything, they do just what they're supposed to. It's humans that are wrong. Humans are what? We shared all these things. God didn't give you an instinct. He gave you himself. He designed you for himself in the image and likeness of God so that God could be able to look and find himself reflected like in a mirror, to see himself, to find his glorious person visualized. Now, so here we are looking, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of that which belongs to God, the God's nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now in verse 4, God has given already to us precious promises. Now, just to tie that together in your mind, go over to 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians and chapter 1, you will note directly in the light of it all, verse 20, 4, all the promises, there's your little word, all the promises of God, A-L-L, all the promises of God are in him, in him, in Christ, all the promises of God, the word of God, Christ is the word of God become flesh, for all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yes, and in him, amen. So be it, let them happen, let it be. Now, having said all of God's wonderful promises, God has gone, and what? The end of verse 20. Amen. Unto him the glory, unto the glory of God, and then the little by, preposition, by, and little eight means agent, by means of the agent who demonstrates those promises. You do, if you're a believer. By us. So all of those promises that are in God made to in Christ, all that we have it connected to his wonderful person, and God's going to demonstrate his wonderful person in the believing heart, and God is going to demonstrate his wonderful promises. They're his promises. He makes them happen. He is the power, the dynamic behind them. Otherwise, they're nothing, just a bunch of words. But God has made all of those promises to become action, power, to be alive and well, to function in the believing heart. That's what God said. All of these promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, Christ in you. God is going to go and demonstrate, Christ in you is going to demonstrate all of his wonderful word. Hang on to that. In your life, as he sees fit, as he does it. But that's the action taking place, power, awesome power. And we shared together, you don't have to turn back there, you can, over to 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, God has given us power. God, and there's no thus, so God has given us power. power with all of its quality and quantity. God has given us power, and he's given us love, and we looked at that. The love of God, the love of God. God is love. God loves being who he is and does what he does. And when he loves, he wants to exercise his wonderful will in your life. He's your creator. He died on the cross for you, and he has a wonderful plan. That's why before you were ever born, all of us, before anyone, before there were any angels, God did all of this. And so all of that God had in mind in his design. Think of the painter and the painting. He hasn't even picked up the brush yet, and he knows exactly what he's going to paint. So here we are looking, and God is going, and God says he's giving us power, and he's given us love. God's wonderful person to what? To make his will, his way, his work, to demonstrate his wonderful plan and purpose in your life. God loves you, therefore you're going to love him back. We shared that on Sunday, whatever. And in Romans 8, you don't have to turn there, Romans 8 and 28, all things work together for good to them that love God. And as we love God, we understand what? God loves us, and God's what? He has a wonderful plan and purpose every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He has a wonderful plan to outwork your relationship to him all day long, school, work, whatever you do, and you're going to be able to do that. And as you do that, God is going to go and outwork his wonderful life, and he loves. And so what do we know? We know God wants to do that, and so we love. We love. All things work together for good to those that love God. That's right. What do we know about our God who loves us and died for us? We know that God is going to go and outwork everything, no matter how it looks, no matter how it feels, no matter how, whatever. It doesn't matter. God's just going to do it. And in spite of everything. Why? It's God's plan. So God's going to do that wonderful, wonderful work. And we love what? We love to be able to know what? All things work together for good. So whatever we're going through, we love it. Because God's doing it. He's letting it all happen in his wonderful way, in his wonderful working. Hang on to all of that. Think of what we did the other night there. And all of those things, and God's doing them. We love it. We love it. And to boot, we shared together in Romans chapter 8 again, in verse 36 and 37, we're like sheep going to the slaughter. But, nay, in all these things, and then the big long list, Romans 8, of everything and anything you could possibly imagine, life and death itself. In all of that, God says, listen, I want you to know you're more than a conqueror. You're more than, remember, exceeding a conqueror. And you're more, it's beyond measurement, beyond everything. It superabounds. Wow. God, how can it superabound? And then you have the opposite. God is loving to do it. Verse 28, you love to have God do it. Verse 37, God loves to do it. And we love what he loves to do. That's awesome. God's love. Timothy, do you understand? Power. And God loves you. And God loves. The love of God. So Timothy, cheer up. You've seen my life all these 20-something years. You've seen my life. And you've been through all the different kinds of things. Because I went through them. You went through them in some form. Wow. So now, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, powerlessness, loss of courage, but of power, dynamo, and of love. We just did that, so you're reminded God loves you. And we love to have God love us because all things work together for good. And God loves doing it. I say it again because I don't want to lose it. Now, therefore, the third thing, what is that? And God has given you a sound mind, a wonderful, wonderful sound mind. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, And the word sound mind has to do with a whole lot of little words. You want to think of, if you can, alive and well, sound and safe, and then add the word mind, understanding. And when you do that, the root of that has to do with the membranes in your heart. And just think of the heart and the pericardium around it and the diaphragm. And all of that is moved by your mind as you think. Remember now, you want to think right because that's how you help your body. If you don't think right, your body is made to work with you, not against you. The body has to protect itself from the 7 zillion bacteria that are on just one little square inch of you. And they're all over. It's everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. And if you do it, I just had a thing the other day, Jeanette gave me, I probably shouldn't even say it, but if you had to go to the restroom somewhere, and it was a big long sheet from the newspaper, and I read it, and I said, we all should be dead after reading it. We all should be dead. There's no way to understand to do it. And you know what? We aren't dead. And we live in the middle of all of those, everything going on. And we aren't dead. We aren't dead. So this is a whole new thing we're facing in the world, not just our country. We're facing it. Wow. Wow. And we're going to pay a price for it, too. We are paying a price. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so here we are looking power, membrane, the body. And you want to stay healthy inside here in your mind because your mind, your body wants to be able just to fight this way. If the body has to fight this way and this way, can you understand why the body gets beaten up? And what is it, 85, 90% or whatever, all your ills and aches are from the mind affecting the body. So we, I need to understand that. And so I need to have a healthy mind to serve my body. My body will serve my mind if I keep it right. But if I don't keep it right, then my body is being stressed in two directions, and it wasn't designed for that. It was designed to serve me, not for me to attack it mentally in what I think, fear, worry about, and everything else, fearing and all of those things. Now, having said that little bit, so that's our little word, a sound mind. And without doing too much on that, that all of that for time's sake, go over with me over to Deuteronomy and chapter 31. I can do it different ways, but here's a way to see it. And when you say a sound mind, you want to think of saneness. And the only sane person is God. He's the only sane person. God, what are you going to do? I'm going to give you power, love, and a sound mind. A sound mind. Sound. Saneness. Safeness. 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 Soundness. Sanity. The sanity, the saintliness of the saints. The sanity of the saints. Sanity. Things. Believers are supposed to think right in order to walk right, in order to honor God rightly. Now, so here's Deuteronomy, and in chapter 31, if I may, now, and I'm going to give it to you in doing it, I'm just going to go back to the word. In Genesis 6:5, God said they did evil continually in the imagination, the thought process of their mind, how they think. They did evil continually. After the Genesis flood, Genesis 8 and 21 and that, what God said, I'm not going to do anymore because the flood didn't solve anything. All that the flood is change the setting for the next stage and the next thing to happen. And in the process, Genesis 8, God said, and the people that now live, here we are part of them, they are going to have their whole mind from their youth up. Their imagination is evil. And you know that from our study in Mark 7 and all of that, that your old nature, which part of our old nature, evil. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so imagination, thought, a thought, hang on to that. God's going to have you have a sound mind. Well, sin came along and loused it all up. So when I come to Deuteronomy chapter 31, and picking up in chapter 31, and remember, here's Moses. Moses is, they're going to cross the Jordan shortly, and Moses is about to die. Now, chapter 31, picking up in verse 21 directly. And it shall come to pass, said Moses, when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song against them, to waken them, to quicken them, to make them aware, so they hit the fire in their heart gets going, the song shall testify against them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of their mouths, of their seed. For I know their imagination. I know, God said, their thinking, which they go about even now before, this is Moses said, I know their thinking, which they go about even now before I have brought them into the land which I swear. So God and Moses, you understand what? The people that are about to cross the Jordan have still got the what? A problem with their mind, a sound mind, a thought, how they think. Now, having said that, how they think, now that's on the, so you can keep going on that, and you turn the pages of history, sacred Old Testament, and you'll watch it. So now, as we go though, God, how do we change it? But what did you say to Timothy? Power, love, and a sound mind. God had given it to him, given it. Didn't have to earn it, merit it. God gave it as a gift, a sound mind, to have sanity. But we don't have it. Our evil imagination, our thinking is distorted, twisted, contaminated. No matter how we cut the cookie, because at the very best, it's less than God's righteousness, and it's filled with us. Who's thinking it? We are. And as long as we're doing it, it isn't going to go too far. So now, having said that, over to Isaiah on the other side. Isaiah and chapter 26. As you would note, and in Isaiah chapter 26, would you please note, if you would, picking up, if I may, in verse 3. I'll read verse 2. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in, honoring the words God's word. Thou wilt keep, the word keep, participle, keep. He's going to keep, guard. God's going to guard. Thou wilt keep, guard him, in perfect peace, shalom, peace, perfect peace, perfect wholeness, completeness. God will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, there's your word, whose mind, whose imagination. Now, God, how am I going to fix it? Well, it's all over the place. I need to go and look to God and lean upon God. And God, your thoughts, Isaiah 55, your thoughts are higher than the heavens. God, so all our thoughts together are nothing. God's thinking and plan and wonderful working, the way he does things, is higher than the heavens. So God, the thoughts that you have to us are beyond us. How you could think such thoughts. So therefore, we don't try to tell God how to do it or how to make it happen. Sometimes we think we know an answer to do it, and sometimes God may let it happen. But we're looking for God to outwork his will. And so therefore, we're very flexible. We think we should go to the right, but God said the left. We think we should stand up, and God said, no, you need to fall down. No. So we're going to go with God. And in the process, in verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, whose thought process is stayed. The word stayed, participle, resting down, supported, secured, locked down upon God and your wonderful grace. So it's locked down, supported, steadfast, stayed. Where's our mind? Our mind is resting down. You're resting in the pew. And you aren't even thinking about the pew's structure or its ability to hold you. You just sit there and let the pew be the pew. What are you going to do with your heart and mind, Timothy? Power, love, and a sound mind. You're going to rest in God who's given you all of this. Now, God, where are we going to get it? In your word. You've given us your word. The Lord Jesus Christ is the word become flesh. When I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I received God's word. And I have the whole Bible is going to what? Help me to understand God and our relationship to God so we can walk with God, enjoy God, honor God, and in school and work, whatever we're doing, we can do it. Why? Because God gave us his word. So therefore, God, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. Why? Because he's trusting, relying, resting down. You aren't fighting the pew, you're resting on the pew. You aren't trying to make it hold you, you're just letting it hold you. You're resting on it, relying on it. Stop. When I do that, so my mind, all over the place with worry and wanting and everything else, we're looking to God, and we need to go what? God will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, whose thought process, God, I'm going to rest down on you. You've given the power to exercise and outwork things, and you love me, so you want to make it all work out, and you want me to believe you, sound mind, and let you do it. So God, that's what it is. You give it to me. You gave it to us in a most wonderful way. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. So now, having said that little bit, back over, if you would please, to Deuteronomy. And for time's sake, chapter 30. And you would remember, you don't have to turn there, but in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 and 8, God gave Israel his word. They had been 400 years in Egypt. They knew Egyptians. Egyptians were very, very, very smart. The Egyptian library was awesome. Wow. So they were with people that weren't stupid. I mean, they were with it. They built the pyramids and everything. I mean, so these people are something else. And they were there to build, to help build and do what they did. Wow. So in the process, they had all of that. They weren't to trust Egyptian language. They weren't to trust Egyptian wisdom. They were to trust what God had given them in his word, Exodus chapter 20 and thereafter. God gave him his word. So as they would honor the word of God, doing what God said, the way God said to do it, and the world would look at them and say, wow, where did you ever learn to do it that way? And not just that way, but the results of doing it that way. They would have had awesome results as they did it. Ah, so it isn't just the words, there are the results. Timothy, you need to be on fire. So people can see that there is a God in the midst of this world in darkness, etc. Now, so having said that, in chapter 30, and you will pick up, please, in verse 14. And the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth. That's what they memorized it. They were to say it to their children and everything if they did it. And the word is very nigh unto thee, and in thy mouth and in thine heart, that thou mayest do it. That's right. Sliding down in light of all of the context, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to them, people going to cross the Jordan. I call heaven and earth to record, bear witness this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And by the way, I'm going to tell you which glass to drink. Don't drink the one of death, drink the one of life. Don't drink the one of curse. I want you to drink the blessing. I'm telling you which glass to take. It's in front of you. You're going to have to make a choice. I'm telling you what to do. Make the right choice. So therefore, the end of verse 19, with blessing and cursing, therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed shall live. Verse 20, that purpose thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave, be glued unto him. For, why? He is thy life and the length of thy days. How come it's eternal life? Because it's gone. God has no days. God has no end. So if you're going to trust God, Moses said, you're going to enjoy God now and forever. Even then in the Old Testament. The middle of verse 20. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell on the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. So it's a wonderful, wonderful relationship. Chapter 33. And in chapter 33, they had the word of God. So that's what you're reading. That's why we're reading it. That's why we're looking at it. Because God said, I give it to you. They had it. And God said, are you reading it and paying attention? I'm telling you what to do. Do what I told you to do, and you'll be blessed and have life. That's all you have to do. Wow. So now, in chapter 33, again, you'll see it, if I can, in verse 46. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which you shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. So you're going to help the children? They don't know. No, that you've got to help them. So you help the children to what? Learn the Bible. Verse 47. And the result, for it is not an exercise. It isn't like playing Monopoly and all of that. All of that's wonderful and good. But that isn't the same when you help me understand God's word and God's presence. Ah, that's a whole nother ball game. That's a whole nother. You want to help my children? That's what you do. That's what you do. Verse 47. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing you shall prolong your days in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. And if you're going to do it right, it's going to stay with you. And that's why you're telling Timothy what? Powers, love, and a sound mind. That's what you're going to do in a most wonderful way. Over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. Well, no. Move over it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, may pick up, please, in thought. Verse 11. Now, God, what are you doing? Here we are reading it. And God, you love it. You gave us the word. And by the way, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to what? We shared it on Sunday night or whatever. The Spirit of God loves you. Not just God the Father loves you. God the Son loves you. God the Holy Spirit loves you. It says so. We read it. The Spirit of God loves you. So he loves doing. What's he love to do? To make all of God's wonderful words that are pregnant with life, spirit and truth, they're full of life, to make all of that book alive, to make all the promises of God yes and amen, to make it all work out, for all things work together for good. the Spirit of God's ministry is to do that. Well, God, I need to understand that. Right. That's why God gave us a sound mind. Where am I going to get a sound mind? From the Spirit of God and the Word of God. It's going to help me to learn, to grow, to think. And without turning there, you don't have time. If you read in Matthew chapter 4, how did the Lord Jesus tackle the devil 40 days and 40 nights? Straightway. How did he tackle him? And the devil did this, and the devil did that, and tested him, and tested him, and tested him. And each time, what did he say? A man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, Deuteronomy 8, that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Don't you put God to the test, said the Lord. Thou shalt worship him and him alone. How did he answer him in his perfect humanity? By going to the scriptures. How are we going to, that's why he's perfect man, and he demonstrates for us what our responsibility is, to honor God who has a wonderful plan for your life. God created you. He designed you. He designed you. He didn't design you as a parrot, and it isn't like a car. A car is meant, designed, for gasoline and everything, and you can't put water in it. It's designed. And you say, why is it like that? Because we designed it. Why are you like you are? Because God designed you like this. God made you like this. So why? That's why you're not normal. If you don't let God come into your life, that's what he designed you for. To demonstrate his wonderful person. Now, so here's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and picking up, please, directly verse 10. But God hath revealed to them, unto us, God's wonderful things that God has prepared. Well, I'm going to read verse 9. What can I say? But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And we love, all things work together for good. All things are going to come out. Everything isn't good, but God, what God's doing is good. And therefore, verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So how are we going to know all this? Well, verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man? We understand each other because we understand we're all the same, humans. We understand that. Save spirit of man, which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So now, therefore, God, you can read the Bible till you're blue in the face. It won't mean a thing until you let God make it mean something. And then all of a sudden, they aren't just words anymore. No, sir, they aren't just words anymore. Nope. It's awesome. The power. Remember, 1 Corinthians 1:18. You're right there. Turn over. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, but unto us which are saved, it is the power. There's your little word. It is the power of God. So when you get saved, yes, sir, it's no more just a book. No more just a bunch of words. Nope, not anymore. Used to be, not anymore. Now, so therefore, when we come to verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, I should say, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Given. God gave them. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's why we keep reading verse after verse in the light of the context, in the light of all 66 books of the Bible. That's how you learn. Otherwise, you got a little piece of something, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and that has to be in all the rest of the, makes that come to it real. Otherwise, you just make a statement, and it isn't connected. You have to connect it to all that God has in mind. So therefore, God, we're looking to the Word of God to do a wonderful thing in our head and in our heart. And our time is gone. Would you go over with me, please? Over to Mark. The Gospel of Mark. Appreciate your patience and hope you got a little bit. Mark chapter 5. And you remember, God record the incident to help us. And here in chapter 5, verse 15, and they come to Jerusalem, to come to Jesus and see him that has possessed with a demon, devil, and that and had the legion, a whole host of them, sitting, clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. Do you see the word right mind? That is the word sound, a sound mind. Right mind, right mind. Here's a man that was all demon-possessed all over the place, and he's sitting there, calm, collected, and looking and understanding with the right mind. Now, and the people were so glad. They were so excited that he had a sound mind. They were going to have a big party and celebrate because he was made better and had a sound mind. Let me read. Verse 16. And they saw it, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine, and all the pigs and demons went into them. Sliding down verse 17. And they began to pray him. What did they tell him to do? Would you please get out of town? Would you please leave us alone? We don't want you to stay here anymore with us. Not in a right mind. You see, we all got the wrong mind. To have you with the right mind among us makes us embarrassing. So would you just get out of here? That's what he said. Okay. And okay, verse 17. And they began to pray him to depart out of the coast. And when he was come unto the ship, he said, Lord, they don't want me. I'm going to come with you. And the Lord said, no. No, he didn't. What did he say? Verse 18. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil, the demon, prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, didn't allow him to do so, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Go show your sound mind. Timothy, what? Power, love, and a sound mind. Go have it among people. Have a sound mind. And they give you all kinds of kooky things today. What are you going to do? God gives us a sound mind. And we need to have a sound mind so we don't act stupid. Not that you would. We want to be able to think right, come out right, and do it right. So someone have a sound mind. Timothy, would someone have a sound mind? It's all coming terribly going to come with all the persecution and Jerusalem. Wow. Wow. That's what God said. Timothy, fire up your heart to have a sound mind. God has given to you everything you need, power, love, and a sound mind. Go do it. Go do it. Think right. Think right. Honor God's word. And you don't have to say, well, I got to be afraid. No, I don't. God, you, as a believer, I said it, I'll say it again. God owns your immune system, your heart system, all your 12 systems in your body. God owns them now. And they're his. So if you're going to go, and really, that's true, but you got to believe. Well, I don't believe. Then you won't know. I don't know. Then you won't have anything. You got to believe. You don't believe, you don't have it. Wow.